end our service tonight, and I want to thank everyone for the anniversary, which is 26 years wide. And it does seem like yesterday I can remember so well what was going over in the local scrap bus. You know, the thing about it, I have to tell you, I drove the bus there and I tried to tell my dad and some of the other boys the bad she was driving, but nobody believed me till they were driving her home. And I don't think they were too far on the road coming home and they realised you went 2 feet left before the steering wheel worked and 2 feet right. How she ever MOT'd? She couldn't MOT'd. The doctor went the certificate and bought. It was funny because I knew whoever was driving her home, they were in for a shock. But you know, it was something really. I remember as well too, the boys were coming back in. Phil was telling me, John said to Sister Daly, there's boys waiting. I could see him. She wasn't that way. I tell you, it was, there was some good laughs, wasn't there? But, I remember that bus had stayed. But 26 years later, it's unbelievable, isn't it, really? It's good memories. You know, I don't regret it. I remember. You know. I remember when I first met Billy Patterson. And I met Sharon and I hadn't met her dad. And Billy says to me, you know, when you meet Charlie, he says, I'm telling you, he's going to ask you a lot of questions. And he convinced me Charlie was a wrestler. I was waiting to see this chat of a man, Charlie, and Billy had me convinced Charlie was a wrestler and all, and the two boys laughed at it, you know what I mean? And, but when me and Charlie met, we hit it off, you know, and Sharon's granda, he's not here, he was at the wedding, he's gone on as well, there's so many people going on, but Sharon's granda really took to me the first time he met me. And he was good to me and Sharon when we got married, you know. Really good to us. And we appreciate it, praise God, you know. The Lord's good, isn't he, 26 years later. But that's what I was going to say. When I first met Billy, and I didn't know what to think of it, Billy says if I'd have done her in, it'd have been out long ago. I didn't know what to think of. You know, Billy, he's a joker. But I'm glad I never done her in. And she never done me in, but we're still here and we're alive and well, and I don't regret it. And you know, I'm going to say this: Sharon's been faithful, and maybe I'm not the easiest at times. You know, I've took up over the years and headed off 2-3 weeks, even a month, to different parts of the world when the children were small, and I never let it stop me. And Sharon always stood by me, and I appreciate that. Many times I went away during the holidays, July and Easter. The times when we should have been going with my family, I went off to Africa somewhere to preach. And I did take every chance I got, and I don't regret it. I believe it was the Lord, and we're here, and we're happy. We haven't much in the way of financial, but it's not important. You could be the richest man and woman in the world, and things couldn't be going good, it's not right. But when you have the Lord, you have an anchor that you can really trust, praise God, it's not right. Praise God. So I really appreciate it, and I suppose I've married a few people myself since then, starting out all that time back, you know. It's really nerve-wracking doing a wedding and things. It's so nerve-wracking. And people say, you know, could you not remember it all? But I couldn't remember it all. Even if you do it a lot of times, it's hard to remember everything in a wedding ceremony, and you're bound to forget someone, but you just go as the Lord leads, and it's the Lord that helps and the Lord that strengthens. And I just want to say publicly, I really appreciate Sister Sharon, and I mean that. And the Lord gave me the best woman. But you know, my dad said the first time I met Sharon, my dad said to me, He says, what's your intentions towards this young woman? And I says, what's your intentions towards my mum? That's how I answered him. Me and Sharon, the sixth time me and Sharon physically saw each other was walking down the aisle. That was the sixth time we actually saw each other. From we first met, 6 months later we're married. And I know people today, it's all changed today. People have engagements for 2 and 3 years. If you don't know in about 2 months, you'll never know. That's my honest opinion. And people say, well, God hasn't spoke to me yet, and then it's not God's will. You know, and that's true. And I remember asking a young couple, I'll mention no names, but they were going out for quite a time. And I said to them, as a pastor, they wanted to see me. And I said to them, you know, you need to do something. You can't keep going on. If it's meant to be, get married. So I asked them the question that I would ask anybody that comes for advice. Can you live without him? And can he live without you? And I asked one young woman, can you live without him? And she says, I can. Well, that was it over. That was it over, but it wasn't meant to be. And that young woman went and met another man from a country that she claimed she couldn't go till away from her mum, but she did. And that young man met another woman, and they're both happily married still today, years later, because it wasn't meant to be. They were wasting each hour's time. And I believe God has somebody special for every individual, and I believe it's a serious thing. You need to pray about marriage. That's absolutely a must. And I know maybe there's not many of us here tonight that I'm saying that, but it's true, isn't it? God gives you the best. Amen. God gives you the best. And we just appreciate the Lord. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. Leave the mum and the dad. You'll not need your mum no more, or your dad, when you're getting married. You'll believe in them. And they'll not need you in that sense either. You're going on your own. And that's what the Bible says, isn't it? You know, we're talking again about the wilderness tonight. There's so many things in this Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they get married, the duck was it about 1 or 2 years out, wasn't it? A year out. It was a year out. That was it for a year. It took a year out. But life's so busy today, isn't it? It's so busy today. But I don't know if you've ever seen them films Off the Grid. How many's ever seen them films called Off the Grid? I like to watch them Off the Grid, it's called, out in Alaska in these countries. And they go out and they build a house that's self-sustainable. They have no mortgage, no electric bill, nothing to pay. And I'm telling you, there's rich people do it and they say it's a relief. Because they're under the rat race here. Working to pay everything and you've nothing left all continually. And it's pressure, isn't it? It's like a pressure cooker at times. Well, we just thank the Lord. We come to the house of God and worship the Lord. And it's a bit of a release, isn't it? Because it's pressure. Life's pressure. And then look at the night. People in Ukraine's not worried about paying a mortgage tonight. The trouble that's over there. And you know, a prophet of God said, Russia is a tool in the hand of God. And I don't understand it all myself, all what's happening, but I'm praying for the people in Ukraine that God just help them. And there's a lot of missionaries out there, they're doing a great work from all different organizations, but they're doing their best. And they've reached people, and we want them to pray for them tonight as well, praise God. The Lord bless each one. I want to thank everyone. You know, I joked here on Sunday night about getting a feast supper. And I got one, but I can tell you what, I regretted it. I got food poisoning. And I was bad on Monday, Tuesday morning, I was really bad. Couldn't do anything Tuesday. And really bad, I won't go into details, but I was sick. And I mentioned a few brothers and they prayed for me. And on Wednesday I was back up on the feet again as normal, but I was bad on Tuesday. And I think I got food poisoning. And you know, I hadn't been eating anything like that for a long time. I don't know where it made the difference or not, but I was sick. And I just thank the Lord. I believe the Lord touched me. And God's good, isn't it? Amen. And the Lord can touch us. And I know Ian prayed for me, and we prayed for him tonight as well. Appreciate our brother Gary praying. And while we're in this flesh, we're going to have the obstacles, but the Lord's a healer. Amen. Let's read from the book of Acts tonight, chapter 7. And I want to talk a bit more about the church in the wilderness led by the cloud. And I think I preached on the church before, and I've maybe said before, there's a lot of people today and they don't like to use the word church. But you can't do away with the word church, because it is all through the Bible. And the word church means called out ones. And here we're reading Acts chapter 7, verse 36 to 38. Just remain seated tonight. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like an unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, and who received the lively oracles to give unto us. So Moses is prophesying of Christ. And he's a real prophet, isn't that right? And Paul the Apostle said he's chiefest of apostles. One verse. And he says Christ is the chiefest of all apostles. Let us bow our heads this evening and praise God. And if anyone's a prayer request, lift your hand up before the Lord tonight. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you this evening in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace. And every good and perfect gift that cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow or turning, you are indeed the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we welcome the Holy Spirit into this room tonight. We welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives afresh. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost, I pray. Wash us afresh by the blood of the Lamb. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed, anything we've spoken amiss or out of place. Lord, we pray you'll forgive us and cleanse us. Sanctify us in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you for the hands that's raised in this service. Lord, that you'll meet that need, every single need of everyone, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Comfort to those that need comfort. Strength to those that need strength, and healing has already been prayed for. To the brother Ian and any others that need your healing touch, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, every one of us need your help, and I need your help to stand behind this pulpit now. Take the Holy Ghost now to help me in the name of Jesus Christ, and I thank you that you do. I pray that you'll bind the devil and all those works in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift the people of Ukraine up before you tonight, and all the missionaries and all the men and women of God that's trying to preach your word and give a testimony, or whatever they're doing for the kingdom of God. Bless them and protect them, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask these things. And Lord, we just pray that you'll have your way in everything. We know that ultimately, that you're ultimately in control, and the devil's only a tool in your hand. Father, we know that these are signs of the times, Matthew 24, and the seals are being fulfilled right before us, and you're coming again. And we have saw a super sign in these last days. We cannot deny it. We know it and we believe it, that we've saw a super sign, a visitation, the pillar of fire, returning back to the church after many years, as your prophet said. And Lord, it's absolutely the truth. You have vindicated a message with your own presence and your supernatural vindication. And we pray tonight you'll vindicate again your own word, and you'll bless us and strengthen us and save our children and our loved ones, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless each one this evening. Praise God. Now, I mentioned a lot of these things on Sunday, but I want to mention them again this evening. And we know the Lord led Israel by a cloud of fire by night, and the cloud by day out of Egypt. to the promised land in Exodus 13, 21 to 22, and it says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night, and he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." God can do amazing things for us and against our enemies. And I want to try and bring this out a little bit tonight. I want to show the types in this of the church. Now let's look at the blessing and the presence of this cloud. There's a blessing and a presence came with this cloud. Know the thing that amazes me? When you read through our first scripture in Acts tonight, these people disobeyed God. And they did everything the opposite of what God wanted them to do, and the Lord still blessed them. And it's not often like us as believers. Many times we don't do what God wants us to do. We do the opposite. But the Lord still blesses us. And the Lord tries to lead us, but God will never force us. The Holy Spirit leads us. Like the shepherd leads a sheep. He doesn't drive them with a stick. It doesn't work. He leads the sheep. And the Holy Spirit's that shepherd, and we're the sheep, and he leads us. But we must be willing to follow him. And there's lots of voices in the world today, lots of voices, but there's only one true voice. And that's the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord went before them, and the Lord goes before the church. Just as this cloud went before them in the wilderness, the Lord goes before the church. The book of Acts began with a Pentecostal experience. Ain't that something? And just like the tabernacle, when you study the tabernacle, you start off with the blood offerings. But once you go past the blood offerings, you come into the Shekinah glory of God, to the ultimate presence of Almighty God, where you no longer need the temporal light of the candles. But you've come right past it into the Shekinah glory of God. And we're no longer working with a type today, but we're working with a real thing in the Holy Spirit and the Word of God fulfilled before us. It's no longer a type, it's been fulfilled. Jesus Christ fulfills all these things. He's absolute perfection, you know. And he went before the church in the wilderness, and they're called the church in the wilderness, and there is a church today. Amen. The Lord led them, so the Holy Spirit leads the church. The cloud gave them light by night, light surrounding the darkness. Not only did God give them light, but you know, the light to them which led them, but yet God left a darkness for their enemies. It was light to the one, darkness to the other. We'll see that maybe in a moment or two. The cloud was a pillar of fire, giving them the warmth also. Not just light, but warmth. Warmth. And not just warmth, also, the cloud was cooling. You know, when the cloud blocks the sunlight, it's cooler, isn't it? But then when you need heat, that fire gives you the heat. So the Lord didn't let them get too hot, and the Lord didn't let them get too cold. Isn't the Lord wonderful? He blessed them. There's so many things in this, what you can take from the Word of God. The cloud was a shade from the heat of the day. And you have to understand where this happened and the part of the world that it is in the country. And it was warm and it would burn you. But the Lord protected them. He protected them from the very heat in the daytime. And then he gave them heat at the nighttime. And he led them by supernatural light. Supernatural. Now when we look at the supernaturalness of God in this Old Testament type here, we must bring it relevant to now and know that the Holy Spirit's absolutely, absolutely real. And he's supernatural today. We serve a supernatural God which sent the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost to equip a church to go forward with signs and wonders and miracles following her, and put 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit in her, a 5-fold ministry of fruits of the Spirit and all them things. God has given the true church. The true church is blessed. And it's the Lord that blesses them with the Holy Spirit. And all that cloud was to Israel, the Holy Spirit is to the church. Praise God. The cloud led Israel through the Red Sea. And yet that same cloud was darkness to the Egyptians when they got to the Red Sea. It led Israel right through it to safety, and it was darkness to the enemies. Now let's read this in Exodus 14, and I'll try not to be too long tonight. I have lots of things to say. I've been studying this and reading it and everything, and it just more keeps coming. And every time you look at it, God's another wee nugget, hasn't he? another wee nugget, and it's great. Praise God. Let's read this in verse 19. And the angel of God. Now, how many times do you hear William Branham, and I know him saying that, you hear him talking about this angel of God. And then you hear him saying, I believe the pillar of fire that we see today is that angel of the covenant that led the children of Israel. He refers back to this. But he's telling you it's the same one. The same one. So the same one that led them then come back to the true church at the end time. Supernaturally photographed, come down to the white winged judge as well. Let's not forget that. And he's here to judge the white winged judge. How many knows he got his photograph taken? And the word is a judge. And we must line up with the word of God. We must receive the word of God. And when you have the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, will lead you into all truth. Amen. And look at this here. And went before them. Look, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went before them, their face, and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these. So it was darkness to one and light to the other. Now we're going to see also in the New Testament something about that. So that the one came not near the other all the night. So even though the Egyptians tried to catch him, they couldn't do it. God didn't allow it. And you know, God could supernaturally, thinking this evening, God could supernaturally intervene in Ukraine. Now people saying there's no way Ukraine could win and Russia will do this and they'll do that. God could intervene. If it's not the right time, God could stop it. God could stop it. And there'll be no atomic bomb fired. God could stop it. And you know, when it looked like Israel was defeated, God stopped it. And God sent an army from heaven. It wasn't an earthly army. How many knows that? That there were supernatural visitations. And I tell you, God's able to do it. I'm not saying, I don't know what God's going to do, but he's able to do it if he wants to do it. Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and waters were divided. And verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. I mentioned it the other week, was stone dry. And the waters were a wall unto them, their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning, watch, that the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and off the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off the chariot wheels that they drave them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, now look at this, God took the wheels off. So he slowed them down. And the other thing is, they didn't go over this here in 5 minutes. This took time to go over this. Now I'm not saying exactly how long, but I could study it and find out. But it took time to go over this, and God took the wheels off. Not amazing. God took the wheels off. So they were pulling them on no wheels. But you know, if you take the wheel of the car, you could probably drive her on. You're going to wreck her. That's for one thing for sure, but it'll definitely slow you down. Isn't that right? God was slowing these boys down. Because he had a plan. The plan for one was safety, but it wasn't for the other. It was destruction. I'm telling you, it's powerful what our God's able to do. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Verse 26, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians and their chariots and their horses. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned its strength when the morning appeared. Now you'll notice the Bible calls this a sea. It doesn't call it a reed of weeds. Up to your ankles, it calls it a sea. And not only does it call it a sea, but it's covered a horse. Even if you have a small horse, your horse doesn't start to the 15-2. Anything below 15-2 is a pony. And 15-2 is a brave size. I'm telling you, isn't it? If you were to say, throw your leg up onto 15-2, you'd know about it. You'd need it by yourself to jump onto 15-2.
But I'm just making the point. This was water was a lot deeper than what some skeptics make it out. See, the Bible blows all these theories out of the water, doesn't it? The Bible's our absolute. It's God's absolute authority. And Moses stretched forth, verse 28, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horses, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them in their right hand and their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the sea shore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. I tell you, our God's mighty. Mighty to deliver. Now that's the same angel that led them, what is leading God's people. It's not some other one. How many knows that tonight? It's the same Holy Spirit. Amen. And there's not two Holy Spirits, it's one Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15 and 16. Now here's it in the New Testament and in what we're saying as well, more right up to date now. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ and them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savour of death unto death, to the other the savour of life unto life. Who is sufficient to these things? And the gospel does two works. It separates to death and it separates to life. It's foolishness unto them that perish, but unto us that are saved. It's the power of God. So the gospel to the world tonight, they laugh at it. They think we're a bunch of agents. But it's the power of God to us that are saved. We know we have a testimony that the Lord saved us. The Lord's power's touched us. He's changed us from the drink, the drugs, and all the other things. He's made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. And he's done more. He's seated us in heavenly places. And we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's the Bible. And we have the earnest of the promise tonight, the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's available. Praise God. The Lord was in the cloud. God was in the type in that cloud. We know he was. It was a visible manifestation of the presence of the Lord to the whole nation. And Paul also tells it that the nation was baptized in the cloud and in the sea baptized. Now I tell you someone is not someone. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud. And all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud in the sea. And did eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. They had a baptism. Amen. Now we don't baptize in any man's name tonight, only the Lord Jesus. We know that. Acts 2:38. Amen. Fulfilling Matthew 28, in the name of the Father, the Lord, the Son, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, Christ. Amen. That's how we do it. And they were baptized here in the sea under Moses. That's what it says. They were following the word for their day, the message God gave them. They followed it. And the Holy Spirit vindicated it. The glory of the Lord appeared in that cloud. Exodus 16:10, and it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. God's glory. You know, it's not everyone that God will give a special visitation to, or a special experience in a sense where he let you see something or something supernatural take place. But God does do it with some people. I mean, you think specifically of the ministry of William Morian Branham. How that pillar of fire appeared many times in his services, and an actual cloven tongue of fire was photographed right on his shoulder. That's a supernatural happening. And yet, with all people bluff it off and they don't want to know nothing about it. And then they listen to half these modern boys and half of them's homosexuals. Now, that's a strong statement, but that's the fact of it. I know what I'm talking about. I've looked into some of it and it's disgusting. And yet God sent a true prophet, a true vindicated prophet in the spirit of Elijah. And brethren, let's waken up tonight. We're not looking for the spirit of Elijah that's promised to come to the church. It has come. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord come. The spirit of Elijah's come. A heart-turning spirit. The next time it comes, it will be Elijah himself to the Jews. We'll be gone in the rapture for them. And I'm not praying tonight for the spirit of Elijah to come. And I'm not prophesying it or looking for it. For I believe it's been fulfilled. But I believe this, like a prophet said, some kind of a blur has blinded people's eyes. And they cannot see their day and its message. They can't see the hour we're living in. They can't see it. And that was the same when Jesus was on earth, you know. When Jesus himself came, they didn't expect him to come the way he came. He didn't come the way he expected, the ecclesiastical route. He came just like a carpenter. This fella here, we know his parents. And they missed it. Amen. And we heard the other week when they followed him because of the loaves and the fishes. Then when he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, they turned away. They couldn't take it. When the full word was given, they couldn't take it. They turned away. And a lot of people say they're real Christians and they're the Holy Spirit. But when you give them the real truth, they don't want it. They don't want it. Let's be honest about it. They don't want it. How can we deny what Jesus Christ has done and say we have the Holy Spirit? We can't deny it. How can we deny it? The Lord will not deny himself. How many believes that tonight? He can't, he won't. And God has done something in our generation. God has already done something. You know, in the Sousa Street, God restored all the gifts back into the church universally. How many knows that? He brought all that supernatural gifts back in, and they all began to manifest and operate. Then he brought a fivefold ministry, and you look back through the church history and you see the mighty ministries God brought in, all their ministries. And brothers and sisters, we're right down to the end. And you know what it says at the end time? The love of many will wax cold. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. But the Lord was in this cloud, I'm telling you. God's presence was in this cloud. Amen. You know, when the supernatural presence of God visits you, look, there's something about it. I'm telling you, there's something about it. It'll change things. And you know what? And I know myself, even in our meetings, we need the anointing to come. When the Holy Spirit comes, there's a difference. Everyone in here, surely can amen that's absolutely the truth. And preaching, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the help of the Holy Spirit to bring the Word of God. Now this cloud eventually brought Israel to Mount Sinai and settled on the mount. That's where it brought them. And the Holy Spirit leads you right back to Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to glorify a man. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to glorify a movement. The Holy Spirit will lead you to uplift and glorify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it doesn't do that, it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit won't get you to boast about yourself, what you can do, but he'll boast about him, what he can do. And it's what he can do for us. We can do all things through Christ because of him. That's the only reason why. Because of him. Amen. The voice of God spoke to the nation out of the cloud. God's voice spoke out of this cloud. Didn't the Lord speak on the Mount of Transfiguration audibly? Jesus was there. Moses and Elijah was transfigured before him. His garments shone like the noonday sun. And the audible voice of God spoke. They were ready to build three tabernacles. How many knows they're going to make three organizations? And the voice said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Don't need no things made up here. Follow the word. Hear him. Amen. And so, Lord, we need to hear tonight. Praise God. When you go back over from the start of this COVID and you go on to so many different people were on, and everybody's a prophet, by the way, today. I'm sure you've saw it. Now, I don't go and watch it, but one fella, he was a prophet. As soon as I seen the way he was dressed, it was over for me. The hairdo he had. This was shaved here, and the back bit was down, and I said to myself, sorry, mate, it's over already. Before you open mouth, it's gone. I'm sorry. It's a bit like that, I won't say it over in England, hairdo special. Hairdo 100. You know, but when you look at that man, you know there's something missing. And he has her. I wish I had her, but he has her. He could comb it. If I had her, it'd comb it. And he doesn't know to comb his. But you know, they're all prophets. They're all prophets. But you know, the Bible says that many false Christs, false prophets shall arise. That's the Bible. But not one of them got it right. With one fellow over in America, and he was blown on the COVID to disappear it, blown it away. And he'd some woman and man starting with him, and they were blowing it away. You might think I'm mocking him, but if he was here, I'd give him some telling off, I'll tell you that. I believe he's false. And I'd tell him at his face if I've ever seen him, and I'd make no apologies for it. You know, when they took William Branham into a place once and they all shook hands with him, and when old William Branham told him, he says, I'm surprised if you Pentecostal man didn't recognize that was a witch sitting there. Didn't know it was a witch. And any man that preaches that Jesus had to go to hell to get born again is a false prophet in my book. Jesus Christ never needed to be born again, for he knew no sin. He took our sin, but he didn't have to get born again. How could someone that's incorruptible, undefiled, have to be born again? That blood's too pure for that. That's false teaching. But you'll be surprised the people that pump that. And you need to hear that. You need to burn it. Stuff like that needs to burn. It's false. And there's false prophets today. And they've all the answers about all what's going on in the world, but how many of it's happened. But God will always have the truth now. The will be the real thing. Amen. Because you can't have the fake unless you have the real. And there's a real. But you know, they'll all tell you about the real. He was a great man, but he went off a bit. Then the boy that tells you he went off a bit, when you look at his life, you'll be shocked. Now that's the truth. And I don't want to go into that tonight. I want to keep with it. The Lord spoke out of him at the cloud at the Feast of Pentecost. God spoke out of him. The Old Testament talks about the Feast of Pentecost. And God spoke out of him at the cloud at the Feast of Pentecost. And we know when the day of Pentecost has fully come, God spoke out through the power of the Holy Ghost. He came with Peter, a man that cursed and denied him. That's who God used. A bit like our brother Laurie preached a few weeks ago, who God uses. And there was Peter cursing, denying the Lord. But the Holy Ghost came on Peter. And Peter stood up boldly and said, these scriptures must needs be fulfilled. And he started preaching from the book of Joel. Amen. How it come to pass in the last days, God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And your young men will dream dreams. And your old men will see visions. And upon my servants and handmaidens will I pour out of my spirit in those days, saith the Lord. And Peter preached a great sermon. Right on down to Acts 2:38 and Acts 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and them afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Look at Acts 19 here, verse 9-19. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee. And I believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Now this is remarkable where it says here, I come unto you in a thick cloud. Because people years ago used to talk about a thick, tangible presence of God in a meeting. And they'd pray for that. But you don't hear much of that today. But this is where it's Bible talk. A thick cloud, for God's going to speak to them. Let me read you it again. And the Lord's verse 9 of, I'm reading Exodus 19. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people. sprinkle and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash your clothes and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of the people on Mount Sinai. God's going to come right down. Ain't that something? Could you imagine being in the meeting the prophet of God was, and he saw that pillar of fire? God could let you see it in this room. I'm telling you, God's able to do it. Remember, these things are sovereign to God. Any of us that's in this room that's ever had a supernatural visitation, you will honestly tell me you didn't pray for it and decide tomorrow it's going to happen. God done it for you. Maybe when you least expected it. That's my testimony anyway. I was running as far as I could from God when he visited me and spoke to me. I was doing the opposite. But that's a sovereignty of God. Our God's a great God, full of mercy and compassion, isn't he? And look at verse 12. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not unto the mount, or touch the border of it. Whithersoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it. But he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall not come unto the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people. And they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, and come not at your wives. And it came to pass the third day in the morning that there was thunder and lightnings and quick thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was upon the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the near part of the mount, and the Mount Sinai was altogether as a smoke, because the neither part of the mount, and the Mount Sinai was altogether smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof descended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God commanded him by a voice. Now, can you imagine coming up to Moses and saying, I don't know if you heard from God? You imagine after Moses has gone 50 or 100 years, some smart aleck saying that Moses really heard from God. What would you think of that? But that's what people do today. Was it really God? That's the world we're living in, a bunch of skeptics. God could save you, deliver you, and sober you, and they'll say, was it really God? Did you not just change yourself? Well, if you can change yourself, work with what the night, change every public time. Amen. We couldn't do it. It has to be God. And God's able to do it. I'm going to have to close in one moment, and I'm closing. Deuteronomy 5:22. These words the Lord spake unto all the assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire and the cloud and thick darkness, with great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on two tables of stone and delivered them unto them. God gave them the oracles of God, the Ten Commandments, supernaturally written by the finger of God. Now, we know we're not under the law, but them things are still real. How many knows that? Moses went up to the Mount Sinai into the glory cloud and was there 40 days and 40 nights. Now, a smart aleck will say, what did he eat? What did he do this? See all that stuff there? All that stuff's waffle. Because he probably didn't need to eat or do nothing. He's in the presence of a supernatural God. They don't know what they're working with. They're working with God that can sustain you nothing, and you wouldn't lose a pound. That's the God we're working with. But they always want a scientific explanation. But the Bible says, heed not the scientists so foolishly called. How could the pillar of fire form and come down and speak to a man? Give us a scientific explanation. What about what Brother Branham said about Moses? He says when he saw the burning bush, listen to this. He said, what if Moses would have took the leaves off it down to a laboratory somewhere to get them analyzed? He said God would never have spoke to them. But he didn't. The voice said, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. And you see that staff in your hand. Just a piece of wood. Put it on the ground, see what happens. It turned into a snake. Lift it again, see what happens. It turned into a snake. That's the supernatural power of God. We can't over talk about it. We under limit it. I'm telling you, it's far beyond what we can comprehend here tonight, or any of us can even think about. Our God's able to do anything. Absolutely anything. God's able to do it. He can raise the dead. God can do anything. And God has used men. Men that were born sinners. That repented, God has used them. And he's no respecter of persons. He can use you tonight. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. And let the same Spirit of God that led them lead us tonight. Do you want that? How many once led by the Holy Ghost? Filled by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. If there's tongues, prophesy, and give the whole lot. Don't be picky about it. Covet the best gifts. Pray that God will bless you. Pray that God will fill you. Pray that God will move this Sunday in these meetings. Pray that they'll turn around. Pray that there'll be a thick, tangible presence of Almighty God. Do you know what I'm talking about? A grip. How many knows what I'm talking about? You ever been in a meeting and you say there was a grip? There's a grip in that meeting. God was there. That's what we want. Let's come and pray this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful portions from your Bible, from the Word of God, that we can look into this wonderful book. We can see all over again the Lord Jesus Christ, the prefigure and a type, that angel of the covenant that went before them, the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. And how, Lord, we were privileged, because on the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Ghost come down. The fire of God come down. And oh God, you filled them. You filled them. And many were converted on one day. The power of God come upon them. And they spoke in other languages. And the people heard them in the languages wherein they were born. You are a supernatural God with supernatural ability, with supernatural authority. You're a supernatural being. There's no man can fully comprehend or explain the supernaturalness you have, Lord. Help us, rid us, Lord, of scientific ideas and projects. Give us a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost, I pray, coming amongst us. A thick presence of the Spirit and power of God coming in our lives, coming in the meeting, coming upon your people, coming upon every preacher that steps behind that sacred desk. Let the power of God come on everyone, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Rid us of our own ideas and fill us with your thoughts. We acknowledge you, and we know you will direct our paths, Lord. We commit our ways unto you, and you promised you'll lead us and guide us. As you went before the church in the wilderness, you lead the church today by the Holy Spirit. For you said the sons of God are led by the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, I pray for a fresh filling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The fire of Pentecost coming upon your people that's in this room, that's near to us, that's dear to us. Let the power of God come upon them. Touch them. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your fire. And loose the gifts of the Holy Ghost amongst us. Tongues, prophesying, working in miracles. Lord, I pray for everyone representative of these meetings, every young man, every young woman, that the devil's hold will be broken over them. I claim them under the blood of Jesus Christ in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Move upon them, Lord, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray for those traveling to come back home. Be with them, bless them, strengthen them. We pray for a miracle in Ukraine. Lord, that there'll be supernatural testimonies of a supernatural God that came on the scene and touched and blessed your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Oh, Father, help us pray this evening. Help us to seek you. Help us bring a spirit of prayer into your church, upon your people. A spirit of intercessory prayer that will get a hold of you, Lord, in the midst of this hour. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I'm asking you for the backslidden tonight, that the devil's hoodwinked, that he's lied till, that he's cheated till. He's an accuser of the brethren. I rebuke him over their lives tonight. I pray you'll speak to that man. Speak to that woman. Restore them. Renew them. Put something afresh within them and upon them. Speak a word into their innermost being and lift them again. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Oh God, we believe you're a miracle worker. You're able to do far exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think, Lord. Oh God, we know you're able to do it. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of Moses is still the one true God tonight. And we worship you, Lord Jesus, and praise you this evening. Bless all the sisters that's here tonight. Bless our nurses, our doctors. Those that couldn't be here tonight, bless them, strengthen them. Do them good, Lord. Meet every need spiritually, financially, physically. Move us closer to you, Lord, and fill us with the fire of God, for the days are short. Help us to win others. Help us to be a light on a hill, on fire, glowing. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, we're asking you for someone tonight. The thick touch of God, the thick presence of God, pour it into the meetings, pour it upon us, thick, Lord, like treacle. Bring it down, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you, Lord, that you'll visit with us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's continue to seek the Lord tonight. Praise God.